Well, again, Happy New Year. Again, it's hard to believe that it's 2016. I remember when I was a kid and thinking, man, you know, the year 2000 is, I mean, there's just no way. We'll never make it to the year 2000. And the Lord's going to come back before then. And here it is 16 years later, and we're still looking for the coming of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, the stage is being set. The Lord could come at any time. We look forward to that day. Amen? So the challenge is not to be fearful because of the coming of the Lord and all that's happening on going on in the world, but to be excited about the great things God is doing and the souls that are coming to Him in salvation, and then be prepared to be living in a way as to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Last week, we started a series on successful life management for 2016. We were talking about planning. Planning is all about biblical stewardship. Around here at First Baptist Church, we call January Stewardship Month. I want to talk about that. Stewardship involves biblical planning. Planning is an important part of life management. But oftentimes when we think of stewardship, we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust, those who are stewards, been given a trust, must prove faithful. Now we see this verse is charging us to be a good and godly steward. Now in our culture, we don't really use the word steward very often, do we? We used to call flight attendants stewards or stewardesses. And on a cruise ship, you might have a steward that takes care of you, serves you. And then there may be a union steward. Again, there are people who manage certain things. But beyond those references, we don't use it often except maybe at church. So we're looking at this matter of stewardship being the matter of life management. A steward, again, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, is one who has been given a trust, someone who's been trusted with something. Just this last week, our daughter Candace brought over our precious granddaughter Lindsay on New Year's Day, and we were looking forward to a great time with little Lindsay. And Candace said, oh, hey, if you don't mind, I got to run to the store for about 20 minutes. Would that be okay? I said, man, this is great. We're going to be the first babysitters. And what she did is she was entrusting to Pops, Grandpa, her precious little one. And so I was to take care of her. Well, Teresa did a little bit, but I was to take care of her. And I'll tell you what, I did a pretty good job at it. You know, she was precious to me. And so that's what we're talking about. It's someone who has entrusted another with something or someone or a possession. That's what stewardship is all about. Now, when you look at stewardship or life management as a matter of being trusted to take care of something of value, it takes on a whole new light. And that's the light in which God wants you to look at this matter of stewardship or life management to here today and then again, throughout the month of January, as we look at this, and of course, in the days ahead. The Greek word for stewardship literally means a housing one. One who was been entrusted by their master. Okay, there was a master in that day who would entrust to a servant his household. Like, whoa, the master's going to be gone for a time. And then there was a servant who was entrusted with the entire workings and care of the household and all that went on. That's what we're talking about. A good example today would be a manager of a business. You know, oftentimes a business owner is not around. Maybe they have several businesses over which they own and have oversight. So what they do is they hire a manager to care for, let's say, an individual store or business. And that manager then is entrusted with the day-to-day operations of that business. So he's got to make sure it gets opened and ready for business and welcome customers, make sure customers are happy and cared for. And after the manager leaves for the day, make sure the other employees have the manager's number. So that if an emergency comes up, the manager can take care of it without bothering the business owner. You see, that's what we're talking about. And now why does a manager do this? Well, because the owner has entrusted the manager with his or her business. And some of you know what that's all about. Some of you are managers of business or managers of certain areas of a business. And the security of your job is dependent upon how well you manage that particular business or a facet of a business. Now, I want to make it personal, all right? Because not everybody's a manager of a business, but I want to use that as an illustration. I want to make it personal to you. Take your notes out of your worship folder. Here's our take-home thought today. And that is, God has given you responsibility with accountability. That's what happens with a manager. A boss or an owner entrusts a business to them. There's responsibility, but then there's accountability. There's going to be a reporting. And God has done that to you, for you. You have responsibility with accountability. You say, well, how is that? Well, first of all, God has entrusted you with life. God has given you life. You have a life to live. And God has entrusted that life to you. He's entrusted it to you in order to manage it. So you're to manage all aspects of your life. And there are a lot of aspects. So when we talk about stewardship here at First Baptist Church, we don't merely talk about the matter of finances. A lot of people kind of might be scared off because, oh, they're going to talk about money. They're going to talk about finances. And we do some. But we talk about the matter of caring for your possessions, caring for your responsibilities, caring for church ministry, so on. All aspects. Your work ethic, your possessions, all of these things come into play. So God has entrusted these for you to manage them well. So the question is, how are you doing? How are you doing? And that's the challenge of the day, to learn how to manage your life well. We want to point out today four distinct characteristics of life management so that you're going to be able to better understand this concept, apply it to your life so you can be blessed by God when you stand before Him. Now, if you've been with us, we review these periodically over the years since I've been here. This will be a refreshment for some of you. I've tried to word them in such a way that it will be fresh for you. And as we remind you of these principles. So here's the first distinct characteristic of biblical stewardship, and that is everything is God's. Can you say that with me? Everything is God's. Do you believe that? Everything. Look around you. Everything's God's. It's all God's. Again, you think of the manager of a business. He has the keys. He hires. He fires. He orders merchandise, generally conducts the business as he believes best. He's responsible for the whole ball of wax, but he doesn't own any part of it. It's not his. He's managing it for another. Turn to James 1:17 if you're not already there. The book of James, toward the end of the New Testament there. James 1:17. James 1:17 emphasizes this truth, and that is every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light. That's talking about God, the Creator, who does not change like shifting shadows. A couple thoughts based on this verse here. First of all things are from God. All things. Every act of giving, every good gift is from God. From the air that you breathe, to the clothes that you wear, to the house that you live in, to the money that you earn and possess, have in your savings account, your 401k, IRA, wherever it is, it's all God's. It's a gift from God. All of your abilities, all of your skills, it's all from God. All things are from God. And we also see in this verse that He is unchangeable. He's unchangeable. Now that should encourage you because He's not going to pull a fast one on you. He's not going to give and then, oh, wait, whoa, whoa, you know, and he's not going to pull a fast one on you. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there's no trial, there's no temptation. The King James used the word temptation. The word really is, it's broader than that. It's trial. Every challenge, every difficulty that you face, that you have faced, that you are facing today, that you may face in 2016, you know what? We don't know what they are. But all those challenges are common to man, that verse says. In other words, other people have gone through them. You're going to go through them, and you can go through them successfully because others have as well. Why? Because God is faithful. And all these things, think about this in light of this matter of life management or stewardship. In other words, God has entrusted that situation to you to manage. Really? You know, God has purpose. He has entrusted that situation to you to manage to His honor and glory. It's an opportunity to bring glory to God. How are you going to do that? We're going to talk about that. He has everything is from God's, including the challenges, the difficulties, the trials of this life. But remember, God is faithful. And because God is faithful, according to that passage, you can be faithful too. You can be faithful. Matthew 5:45 says, He, speaking of God, causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's all from God. In 2 Peter 3:9, be a good verse to jot down in your notes and check me out. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. 2 Peter 3:9 says, The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. He has entrusted you with life. One of the questions is, what are you going to do about eternal life? You know, He has provided His Son. We just celebrated the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen? I mean, what a great celebration. The birth of Jesus. But He came for the express purpose of dying on the cross. We're going to celebrate that here in just a little bit in our communion service. He died for your sins and mine. He was buried and He rose again. We sang about that. It's victory over sin. He rose from the grave. You know, I mean, just think about that. But the thing is, He has provided you with the opportunity for eternal life. Here's the offer. What are you going to do with it? Again, it's really the first point of, first aspect of stewardship is to trust Christ and for the fact that He provided salvation, and then trust Him for eternal life. Everything is from God. Everything is from God. There's a second distinct characteristic of life management, and that is all you have is from God. I should put it this way. All you have is from God. All right? Everything is God's. Now, everything that you possess, everything that's for which you are responsible, it's from God. All you have is from God. He entrusts you with everything that you have. Matthew 7:11. Should be easy to remember that, 7:11. Matthew 7:11 says, If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? We just went through this at Christmas, didn't we? You know, when you buy presents for your kids, you know, you like to buy them nice things. Things that they ask for or that they want or that you think might be good for them, right? That if we can do that, certainly God's going to do that, our Heavenly Father. That's what that verse is saying. God gives good things. And He has... And also, all you have is from God. He gives you good things. I'd like you to turn to Matthew 25. And we're gonna refer to this a couple more times throughout the message here today. So mark it or keep a finger there. Matthew 25. And this is what's often called the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, looking at verses 14 and 15. Again, It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money. Well, what's a talent? We tend to think of talents in terms of abilities, you know, being able to sing or play an instrument or build things. But here it's talking about an amount of money. It was over $1,000, okay, in that day. So to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went on a journey. This is stewardship. This is management. He gave them this amount of money, these talents, in order to manage them. That was understood. And he entrusted his servants with his property. And so it is with God. God gave you everything that you have. You name it, he gave it. He entrusted it to you. He wants you to care for it. And you're to manage that. Again, your strengths, your abilities, your health, your wealth, it's all been entrusted to you to manage, to take good care of. Now, the value that you place upon an item that has been entrusted to you will determine how good a steward you are, right? If you got a gift for Christmas, and if you really like it, you're taking good care of it already, aren't you? Maybe somebody got a new car. It's like, oh, it's a big surprise. It's, oh my goodness, it's just what I always wanted, you know. And you're out there, and I mean, you got it Christmas, and it's only a couple weeks later, and you've already washed it 10 times, you know. It's like, man, you know, just got, ooh, there's dust on it. You got to take care of it, you know. You've already vacuumed it out 3 times, you know. Don't touch it. You know, got a car cover for it. Why? Because it's valuable to you. Or, you know, you think of a toy that you may have gotten. Something that you think about. Okay, why is it that I want to take such good care of this? It's because I value it. It's precious to me. It's special to me. Now, we think of that in terms of tangibles so often. But I was just thinking of this. You know, I've been thinking about how I can get involved in our culture. I think as Christians, we need to get involved in our culture and to be effective, do what we can do in order to be effective in our testimony and our witness for Christ. You think, how in the world can we make an impact on this world for Christ? How can, I mean, this is a big, great big country. And, you know, I started to thinking about this in light of stewardship. The fact that, you know what, we have a great nation. And God has entrusted this nation into our care. We have a representative form of government. Who are in authority over us, as far as our presidents and representatives and senators, you know, we say they're our leaders, but you know what? They work for us. So I got to thinking, you know, God has entrusted this great nation into my care. And so it is of utmost importance to me to take responsibility for who gets elected, to do what I can do. And we say, well, all we can do is vote. All right, well, take a look at this. We didn't vote because it won't make a difference. And there's hundreds of thousands of people standing there. You know, we think, well, what difference could I make? It says down at the bottom here, 2/3 of eligible voters don't vote. Get this. Here's a statistic for Christians. I don't know why Christians view it this way. And that is, only half of all Christians are registered to vote. Half of all eligible voters, only half of them register to vote. And only half of them vote. So the statistic is worse than what you see up here for Christians. I think some of it is because we think, well, it's all in God's hands and so on. But if you think about it in light of stewardship, we have a responsibility. And so we're going to be over the next couple of months, because voting season's coming up. Over the next couple of months, I'm going to encourage you to vote. We're going to have a voter registration Sunday, and we're going to encourage you to vote. We're going to try to do what we can do to get the vote out. Because as believers, we think of our culture very differently than unbelievers. And we want to have an impact and an influence on that which has been entrusted to our care. Just an illustration of how stewardship can apply to even that area of life. You might think, well, why is Pastor talking about politics? Let's talk about the ministry. Talk about ministry. I use that as an illustration. Use ministry as an illustration. Did you ever think about how this church has been entrusted to your care? How are you doing at managing that aspect of ministry that God has entrusted to your care? See, it takes on a whole different mindset, way of thinking, when you start thinking about ministry. It's not the pastor's church. It's not the pastor's ministry. It's not the deacons. Yes, they lead. Deacons serve. Minister. But what about you? What about your part? See, we're talking about stewardship and fulfilling our responsibilities. God has given you everything that you have. Ministry is, country is one of those things. Ministry is another. Again, just to get your mind away from just the tangible things. Here's another distinct characteristic of life management, and that is God wants you to be responsible. That's His desire. He wants you to be responsible with that which is entrusted into your care. And you are to responsible to increase it. But you can either increase what God has entrusted to you or diminish it. You can increase it or diminish it. Again, let's go back to the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, all right? Why didn't the one talent person increase his talent? Let's start reading at verse 24. Well, let me remind you, the five talent person, he doubled it. Said, Master, here's, you gave me five talents, I'm bringing back 10. I've doubled what you give entrusted to me. The two talent person says, you gave me two talents, you gave me over $2,000, and I'm bringing back and I'm giving you over $4,000. Verse 24. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. At least he didn't lose it. Verse 26, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Again, why didn't the one talent person increase his talent? He was lazy. So you say, well, how does it diminish it? All right, he didn't double it. He didn't increase it at all. So how does that diminish it? Well, look at the steward. He neglected it. He buried it. As if he never even had any care or responsibility for it at all. So if you neglect your responsibility, it diminishes what has been entrusted to you. How do you increase it then? Well, you give attention to what has been entrusted to you. You work on it. You work at it. You work with it. All right, let's think about our witness. Okay, God has entrusted you with the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. We have a responsibility to tell others about that. And it's not just the pastor, it's not just the deacon, it's not just the Sunday school teachers, it's not just the Bible study leaders, it's not life group leaders. Everybody has that responsibility. Now, how do you increase that? Well, one thing you do is you look for opportunities. You know, you just go throughout your normal day. You carry on your normal conversations, but your antennas are up. You're like, okay, I'm going to be thinking about it. If somebody, you know, they said something about God, or they said something about the creation, or how beautiful the sunrise was this morning. You're thinking, how could I start talking about God in this conversation? You're looking for the opportunities. And then, in light of anticipating opportunities, you're going to memorize certain passages of Scripture. At least remember where to turn to when you have an opportunity to share the good news of salvation. You're going to put down verses like Romans 3:23 and then Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:12 and Romans 10:9-13. You're going to I'm going to turn to those passages. I'm going to memorize Ephesians 2:8-9. I'm going to memorize John 1:12. Why? Because I want to be a good steward of the gospel, the good news about salvation through Jesus Christ. Again, your talents, that's an easier one, isn't it? How are you going to increase your abilities that God has entrusted to you? You know, you say maybe you're have an interest in piano or guitar or drums or whatever. You know, don't you admire our musicians? I mean, you know, they don't just come in here on Sunday morning and just kind of slap something together. You know, they're sent the music out a month ahead. They go through it. How does it come across so well on Sunday mornings? They practice. They give attention to it. And then they come together on the Tuesday before the Sunday. And then they come in early on Sunday mornings. I mean, early on Sunday mornings. God has entrusted them with ability. How do you increase it? You give attention to it. And we could go on with relationships. How do you give attention to relationships? How do you develop relationships that have been entrusted to you? Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, friends, neighbors. You give attention to it. You spend time. You carry on conversations and you do things together. You work together and thereby build relationships. Well, think about it in relationship to God. You might say, oh, I just feel so far from God. You've ever said that or heard somebody say that? I heard someone put it this way. Well, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? It wasn't God. You know, He's there. He'll never leave you. But how do you strengthen that relationship with God? You got to spend time with God. Oh, but I didn't feel like it this morning. How many times have you gotten up on a Sunday morning and thought, oh, I just don't really feel like going to church, you know? Well, but you're here, you see. I hope you're glad you're here. It's giving attention to your relationship with God, reading His Word faithfully, regularly, daily, spending time in prayer. And as you do that, as you give attention to your relationship with God, guess what? It enhances, it increases, it develops. And again, you can think about that in ministry and life. You give attention to that which God has entrusted to your care. You are responsible. God wants you to be responsible. And then finally, a fourth characteristic here is that you will have to report to God. You will have to report to God. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, and we preach and teach this faithfully here. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, we make it our goal to please Him. That's our goal in life, to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. That means dead or alive. Your goal in life should be to please God. Why? Verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, because we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. You're going to stand before God. And He's going to ask you, okay, how'd life go? And hopefully, you'll say, well, we heard this message on Sunday morning at our church. And it taught me about some principles on how to manage my life, and that's what I've been trying to live by. Because I knew that one day I'm going to stand before you and give an account. You're going to report to God. We looked at this passage last Sunday. I'd like for you to look at it again. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we talked about this in light of planning without God. But we want to look at it in light of stewardship here today. Luke chapter 12, or life management. Luke 12, 16 to 21. Jesus told them this parable, Luke 12, 16. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Yeah, man, I've got it all figured out. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Why wasn't this man a better steward or life manager? Why didn't he take better care of the opportunities that came his way? Well, look at verse 21. He stored up for himself, didn't he? It was all about him. And when there is that self-focus, when you forget that everything is God's, and that everything you have has been entrusted to you by God, and that you're responsible, and one day you're going to stand before God and give an account, you're going to have to report to God, you realize it's not about me. That leads to complacency. That leads to apathy. That leads to a self-focus. So what's the solution to that? Look at verse 21 once again. Here is your motivation. And that is to be rich toward God. Anyone who stores up, that's what it's going to be like for anyone who stores up things for himself. The party's over. What's the solution? Be rich toward God. What does that mean? Well, you make it your goal to please Him, dead or alive, whether you're at home in the body or away from it. Matthew 6:33, good passage to jot down. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. You know, you put first things first, and the other things tend to fall into place. Why? Because of your priorities. You prioritize that which God has entrusted into your care. Here's another good one, Colossians 1:10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life, here it is, live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Man, wouldn't that be a great verse for 2016 for you? You know, well, you see this on all the morning talk shows and everything, you know, they're talking about resolutions and, you know, what are your goals and, you know, look, someone, you go back to work tomorrow. A lot of us are going back to work this week, you know. What are your goals for 2016? That I might live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Wow. That would be awesome. So what evidence is there in your lifestyle, in your habits, that demonstrate that you understand that God could call you into account, that you are going to stand before God at any time, and that could be today before the day's over? Again, don't use this as a Jesus could come any time. What am I going to do? No, say, man, look at the opportunity I have right now to live for God so that if and or when He comes, I'm going to stand before Him. And here, what do you do when you stand before Him? What do you want when you stand before God? It should be to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that what you want? Wouldn't it be awesome to stand before God and God says, "Okay, well, how was life?" And you give an account. You tell Him about how life was and He says, "Well done." And we say, "By the grace of God, with His help, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we sang earlier, rose victorious to give us the victory. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it in our own strength. It's only by the power of God and the Holy Spirit working in us to enable us to do what we're talking about here today. We're not talking about self-help. We're not talking about picking yourself up by your bootstraps. We're talking about relying upon God for His power, His strength to do just what we're talking about here. God, remember our take-home thought here today. Remember that. And it is, God has given you responsibility with accountability. Let's put this in the, put the word me in there and say this with me. God has given me responsibility with accountability. Let's say it again. God has given me responsibility with accountability. You know, you've seen maybe a friend, a neighbor, relative. Man, maybe someone gave them a new car or they bought a new car. Maybe it's a house. And maybe it was a year ago, 2 years ago. And you look at that and you kind of go, oh man, oh, they have trashed it. They have trashed it. That's so sad. And it is sad, isn't it, when you see that? You think, man, if I had something like that, wow, Think about that in light of your life. Let's take it off of somebody else and what they may have done or may not have done about their car or their house or whatever it is. Think about you and your life. Are you going to trash it? Have you trashed it? Or are you going to give careful attention to it because you value the life that God has entrusted to you? We need God's help to do that, don't we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need You. We need You. And God, thank You for Your grace, because we can't do this on our own. These are awesome principles. And so I pray that You would impress them upon our hearts to realize that everything is Yours. And You've given us everything we have. And we're to be responsible. And one day we're going to stand before You and give a report. But we can't do this on our own. We need You. We need the power of Your Spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how God may be speaking to you through His Word here today. And God may be putting His thumb on an area of your life, putting pressure on your life, and something that I haven't even mentioned. But that's good. That's God working in your life. I'd like everybody to fill out a communication card from the pew in front of you. Maybe you've already done that. Fill that out, just pertinent information about your name, address, and your presence here today. That's a way we care for each other. But on that card, you might jot down a prayer request, a concern, a praise as to how God has worked or is working. But you also might jot down some way in which God has touched your heart through His Word here today. If it's personal, if it's private, you don't want it published, don't want your name on it, just put "for pastors only," and we'll be praying for you. But I've just found that it's just a great way, as you make a commitment before God, to put it in writing. Just jot it down. If it's a matter of salvation, I said salvation is the first matter of stewardship. If you've never trusted Christ, you say, I have questions about salvation, or I'm not sure of eternal life. Just jot that down. Again, put "for pastors only." But again, as believers, it may be one of the areas upon which we've touched, or another area. Just jot that down and just ask for prayer. In a moment, we're going to take an offering. That's how we perpetuate our ministry. That's how we get the good news out there. That's how we continue to reach people for Christ with the messages that we have here. And we just encourage you to give faithfully. We've made some adjustments to our finances for this year, and it would just be great to start out the year strong and continue strong through the year. So consider how you can give faithfully to the Lord. Place your offering, place your card in the offering plate here, and then be preparing your heart for the matter of communion. Father, work, I pray, as only you can, in a mighty way among us. Draw every heart unto yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.